Succession. Written by Michael Beschall. Narrated by Michael Beschall. Chapter 1. At 7:30 on a summer evening in 1885, John Leary entered his study, closed the doors behind him, and adjusted the gas light. Opening his briefcase, he withdrew some documents and a sealed envelope. He placed the documents in front of him, but put the envelope to the far right of his desk, away from the papers, as if it would infect them. He drew open the curtains, warm from the February sun, and looked across Blackburn Cove. Even after 29 years of living here, the view still impressed him, as did the fact that his house on Wolseley Road, Point Piper, was now valuable, and so was his time. Therefore, he allocated this part of the day before dinner to complete any unfinished business. Today, like any Monday, had been busy. Sitting down, he addressed the top document which listed his worth. He noticed that his accountant had not included John's recent purchase of an extra 1,000 shares of the Woolbrokers Gold Report. Picking up his pen, he made a note in the margin and placed the document next to the envelope. The words on the outside, "confidential investigation," glared at him. He looked at the study doors as if sensing someone was about to walk in, then pushed the envelope out of sight beside his desk lamp. Forcing himself to forget the envelope, he leafed through the rest of his papers. Damn, he'd left these plans for the alterations of his company's Annandale premises in his office. The envelope had distracted him when he'd been packing his briefcase to leave. He would have liked to work on those plans now, keen to use his drafting skills. He'd have to make a trip to Annandale in the morning. He picked up the next report, the latest inventory from his plant yard. Soon he was immersed in analysing the need to sell, buy or lease his construction equipment. The study doors opened. "Dinner is ready, dear." Catherine Leary came in and stood beside his desk. His wife was always elegant, even at the end of the day. She was tall and lithe with intelligent eyes, a long, fine nose and a generous mouth. Her light blonde hair, streaked with grey, was pinned in a fashionable bun. "You look tired and worried." John forced a smile. Catherine was a good wife, but she could not help him solve the issue with the envelope. "Just tired." "Well, you're not the young gun you once were." John was about to react when she smiled. "You must think again about delegating some of your responsibility." He smiled with her. "I will, Catherine, I will." He collected his papers and the envelope and placed them back in his briefcase. Tomorrow, the contents of that envelope would be faced. Tomorrow. He accompanied Catherine across the foyer and into the dining room. At the table, his two daughters were seated side by side facing his two sons. Taking his place at the head of the table, John placed his napkin on his lap and took a sip of iced water from a water glass. Catherine sat opposite him. The room was pleasant. The steam-driven overhead fans, set just below the 12-foot-high ceilings, tempered the evening's humidity. "What's got you in such a good mood, Richard?" Agatha said to her half-brother. "Won a packet at Randwick?" "I wish," he replied. "No, I've just employed a cook come servant. I wouldn't survive till next year if I had to live on what I call meals, though I doubt I'd be missed." Agatha grinned. "You would be missed, especially by some women." Richard grinned back at her. "Yes, a few women would miss him," John thought. Richard was of average height, but solidly built, and his wavy dark blonde hair, inherited from his deceased mother Clarissa, attracted the girls. Agatha, his youngest child, a tall 20-year-old with fair skin acceptably freckled, a well-developed figure and straight brunette hair, was someone who gave as good as she got. Richard always seemed to enjoy their banter. John smiled at Catherine. "Where are Christine and Uncle Jerry?" "They're resting," Catherine said. "They're both a bit unwell." As they were both in their mid-70s, John didn't doubt that. "We will say grace." He glanced at Richard as they recited the words. His son, who would turn 30 this December, was not pious and didn't believe the words he mouthed. He attended Mass, but John surmised that he did so only to keep his father happy or for business contacts. John and Catherine were devout Catholics, as was their son Brendan. However, their eldest daughter Mary, sitting beside Agatha, unfortunately seemed to share Richard's lack of interest in religion. She was tall and slim like her mother, and was deliberate and matter-of-fact in manner. Her straight, dark blonde hair and clear skin set off big ocean blue eyes that, like Catherine's, looked straight at you. When Grace was finished, Mary asked Richard if he enjoyed living in Glebe. Richard smiled at his stepsister. "It's all..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?